All right, we're in Philippians chapter 3. And we got to verse 12. Paul has been talking about, he was talking about not putting any confidence in the flesh, in the things that this world values. And he talked about his upbringing or whatever, how he grew up and all that. And he was one of the Pharisees, which there was never any more than 6,000 at any one time of the Pharisees. And they were the people who lived the strictest, you know, tried to keep the law the most strict of anybody, right? We would call them legalists, okay? They were sticklers for the law, all right, to the nth degree. And Paul was one of those, and he was very zealous and all, but he considered all that garbage. All that was garbage. That was verse 8, that he may gain Christ, okay? Not having a righteousness of his own, because what? There is no righteousness of your own. You can't keep the law. So, but that which comes through faith in Christ, okay? I particularly like verse 10, 11. I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so about attaining to the resurrection of the dead. He wants to experience all that. He wants to be like Christ, basically. And if that means suffering, he's ready to suffer, or whatever that means, to be like Christ. He wants that. That's what he wants. So,
the phrase of power of the resurrection, that really grabs me.
Mm-hmm.
God's power.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that we already have that.
We already have it.
We have it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, look at Ephesians 1, 18 to 20. Paul prays that you might know the hope that God's given us. The riches of his grace, all the riches that are in Christ, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And then he says that power is like that what he used to raise Jesus from the dead, which is a lot of power, and put him at the right hand of God. He says, but who's that power for? For us who believe. Okay, so we have that power. I don't think a lot of Christians seem to realize they have power. Same thing in Ephesians 3:20. God's given us, he says, he's given us more than all we, what? Ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Okay? So what can God do? What can you ask him to do? He can do a whole lot more. What can you imagine God doing in your life? He can do a whole lot more. Okay? According to his power. So we have that power, but most Christians, I don't think they realize they have such power. Okay? But he gives us the power. God gives you the power to do anything he wants you to do. Why? God's not going to ask you to do something and then not give you the ability to do it. So, but the problem is we have the ability and the power through God, not through us. But that's why what? Paul said, what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, okay?
Yeah.
He's got the power. What? So it's never a question of can I do this or can I do that? The question is, does God want me to do this or does God want me to do that? If he wants me to do it, he'll give me the power to do it. Okay? So do we have the power to overcome sin? Yeah. Okay? Because God's power is greater than the devil's power. Okay? That's why the Bible says what? Resist the devil and he will what? Sleep from you. Okay? But I think most Christians are like, oh, I'm so weak, I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, because they're not relying on the power. But it's kind of like that screen there. You turn it on, it'll take you all over the world. But if you don't plug it in, it don't do nothing. And that's kind of us. You're plugged into Christ, you got all kinds of power. But if you're not plugged in, you got nothing. Okay, and so a lot of times we run around trying to do it all by our own strength and get frustrated because it seems so hard because we're not relying on God's power, we're relying on our power. Okay, so I threw that in for free.
Thank you. That's great.
Text there. Okay. So in verse 12 he says, not that I have already obtained all this. What? Is he perfectly like Jesus? No. You still got what? Room to grow? You still trying to do that? Or have already arrived at my goal? But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What did Christ Jesus take hold of him for?
Spread the gospel.
Well, he took hold of him to what? Be with him forever, right? In heaven? Took hold of him to what? Honor God.
Serve.
With his life. Serve him with his life. Okay? Okay, and so he wants what God wants for him. See, that's happiness. Happiness is when what you want and what God wants are the same. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay, Paul, he uses an analogy here, a sports analogy, because he a lot of times uses sports as an analogy there. Everybody there was familiar with the games,
the Olympics
type thing. Games in that time, because they started in Greece. All right? And so he uses that analogy there. But he said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Now, did he remember what he had done in the past? Yes. But what? You don't live in the past. That's gone. You can't change whatever's done is done. And it's ridiculous to kind of keep living in the past. Move on. Okay? Because it doesn't change anything, doesn't help anything to live in the past. Okay? Bruce Springsteen had a song called Glory Days, you know, where the guy's going back and remembering how things were when he was in high school and all that kind of stuff. Well, that might be nice memories, but that's not a place to live. Okay? you can't live on in the past. You know, the past is gone. Whether it was good, whether it was bad, whatever it was, it's gone. So you move on. You move on to the present and the future. Okay? Yes.
What chapter are we in?
Chapter 3. And we're in chapter 3, and we're in verse 13 and 14. Okay? But this idea of forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on. What's the runner when he's running the race? What's he doing? He's straining with everything he's got to what? Across the goal, right? Get across the goal line to win the prize, right? Now, in the games there, they got a wreath on their head if they won. They got a wreath on their head. And sometimes they got some money. Okay? But he's running for a different prize. Okay? And so you don't... If you're running in the race, you got to be focused on what?
The prize.
That. That's all you... You know, you're not thinking about everything else. Well, there's my wife over there in the crowd. You know, whatever. There's... You can't be distracted. You got to be focused on... winning the prize, and that's why he talks about straining. What do they do at the tape? They strain it across the tape first, okay? So I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Is that easy?
No.
No, it takes what? Effort. All your effort to do that. So you keep pressing, you keep working, you keep going toward it, okay? Not getting distracted by the world, because the world is going to try to distract you, isn't it? Okay, so you keep your focus on what you need to be focused on. Okay? What is the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Being there with God. Okay? See, wherever God is, that's where you want to be. Okay? And so, because I, honestly, guys, I have no clue what heaven's like. I don't have a single clue. I couldn't tell you anything about it. Except that God's there.
It'll be different than this.
It's a whole lot better than any other place. Okay? Beyond that, I have no clue. Okay? I just know it's going to be good. Better than anything we've experienced.
Now, you have thought about it, though. I know I have. What's it going to be like?
Yeah, and I figured out I don't know.
I don't stand up, yeah.
Okay.
Another goal is to achieve a glorious body, too.
Yep, we're going to have we'll have a new body. And as you get older, you're longing for that, too. as well, and that's probably, in fact, we're going to get to that at the end of the chapter here. Okay, if we get there, which I'm sure we will. Okay, any questions on 13 and 14? Then he says, all of us then who are mature, and that's making an assumption that hopefully we're mature, should take such a view of things. Take such what a view? The same view he just talked about in 12 through 14, or the previous verses. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. If you don't, quite get it, or maybe you disagree about some little point, he said, God will make it clear. Only let us, and here's the key, verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Okay? What have we attained?
The knowledge of God.
Okay, we haven't got to heaven yet, have we? We haven't got to eternal life yet, but what have we attained? Have we attained anything?
The Holy Spirit.
Okay, we have God's Spirit. See, when you're not a Christian, you're out here by yourself. When you're a Christian, you got God, you got Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 1 says you got angels, and you got your family, the church. So you got all this versus this. Okay? So, what have we attained to at this point?
Yeah, we have the relationship already, but living up to that, we oftentimes feel as though we're falling short because of our sins. Mm-hmm. But one day we'll be made perfect.
Okay. We have that, but as Clyde would say, we are already perfect. Because God has made us perfect in the sense of we have no sin. He doesn't count sin against us. Okay. So we have, I'm standing here, I have no sin. Not because I don't sin, but because what?
You're forgiven.
God's, the blood of Christ, 1 John 1:7, is continuously cleansing me from all sin. So as long as I'm walking in the light trying to follow God, the blood of Christ is constantly cleansing. So, should that encourage you to know that you're walking around without any sin?
Absolutely. Never looked at it that way. Yeah. Continuing cleansing.
Yeah, that's like a fountain. That's because 1 John 1:7 is talking about an action in the past that continues on. Okay? So when you're baptized, you come in contact with the blood of Christ. But then the blood is continuously cleansing. Okay? So you have constant access to it. That's why 2 Corinthians 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. no condemnation. That's Romans 8:1. Yeah. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not because we don't sin, but what? And that's the picture in 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. He said, I write these things to your children so that you won't sin. But if you do sin, which we do, then what? We have an advocate who's what? Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay? The atoning sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. So, but the picture there is going to court. You go to court and the devil says, you did this. And he's right. You did it. You're guilty. But your defense attorney, Jesus, and his father's the judge, and he says what? I already paid for that. Case dismissed. Okay. That's the picture. Okay. And that's where you want to go. Okay. There's no condemnation because of Christ, not because of our goodness, but because of Christ. So that ought to give you some encouragement. Okay? All right? So instead of walking around like we lost our last friend or something. Why would we do that? Because we get caught up in the world, the problems in the world. Okay? Instead of rejoicing in what? All the things that God's doing for us all the time. Constantly. Cleanses us constantly, blesses us constantly. Who's got it better than us? If you're forgiven of your sins, you're going to heaven. But that makes you in the top 1% of the world. Yeah. Who's got it better than you? Okay. So, I think there's a reason to rejoice. That's why Paul's in prison, but he's what? Talking about rejoicing. Because he's focused on what? On what God's doing, not, what's my circumstances? They're not like I like. They're not what I want. Okay? But we would never do that. So, he's trying to keep, again, focus on what? On the prize, on what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go, and all that God's doing for you. Okay? So we should live up to what we've already attained, which is salvation, forgiveness of sins, all the grace that God's poured out on us. Okay? So, alright, so, and he says something in 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Alright? So, it's funny, but a lot of people don't want to say this. Do you hear people saying, yeah, follow my example? Shouldn't we be able to say that?
Yes.
Isn't that for our kids? Isn't that what we're saying to our kids? Because our kids are going to follow our example whether we like it or not. So, isn't that what we should be able to say? Follow my example? Not because we're perfect or anything, but what? If we're living in Christ, isn't that what we want for our kids? Our grandkids or whatever it is? So, they should what? See our example because they're going to see it. So, and Paul just says, follow our example, okay? And earlier he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, right? So, but people don't want to say, it sounds what, arrogant to say follow my example?
People think that you have to be perfect. That's where the people think you're arrogant.
Yeah.
Know you're not perfect. And they don't realize.
No, exactly. And, well, for example, follow my example for when I sin, how I deal with it. You understand? It's the same thing. You can teach your kids, well, when you mess up, here's what you do. Okay? You don't have to say, I don't ever make a mistake. But say, here's how you deal with it. When you make a mistake, here's what you do. Okay? So, it's not... Does that make sense to you? Not, but we ought to say that. And he's just saying what? Just as you have us from out, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Okay? So he's not saying he's the only example, is he? So, follow examples of what?
Christians.
Who are what? Living like they should. Okay? Why is that a good thing?
Well, he goes on to talk about it, but outside of this church here and other Christians, you know, meeting around town right now, there's a lot of great Christians in Huntsville. There's also a lot of people that are their destiny is destruction, is what he says.
Right. Okay, so you got what? You got good examples, and you got what? Other examples. Okay. They're not so good. Alright? So which one are you gonna follow? Who are you gonna, you know, who you wanna emulate? What do you wanna try to do? You know? Of course we say what? Well, I want to emulate Christ, right? But it's a little easier for most people to see a visual example, right? Because we say, well, I can't be like Christ because he's perfect, right? And so we know we're not perfect. But can we? But if we find people who are walking in living a life like this, a good way, a good life, then that's people we want to. It means what? Well, hey, I can do that too. You know, if you don't know anybody who's living anything, any kind of life that you didn't want to have, that would be pretty discouraging, wouldn't it? Okay, but if you can see people who are living a life that's like that, follow their example, as they follow the example of Christ. So it becomes more real to us when we see people who encourage us. Right? In fact, that's what's talked about in terms of the elders. We're supposed to teach them and try to follow that.
Okay. Well, you talked about 1 John earlier, walking in the light. I think that's a really good example. John's writing of not, you know, we're going to sin, but being in the light and surrounding ourselves with other people following that same path. I mean, that's why we're here today. And so,
but walking in the light is talking about, to me, is means I'm trying to follow God the best I can, but I can be faithful to God. I'm not going to be perfect. I always use the example of marriage. I've been married to my wife 55 years. Okay, and I've always been faithful to my wife. I've never chased after some other woman or anything like that. But that doesn't mean I've been a perfect husband, that I've never said the wrong thing or done the wrong thing. You know, my wife can tell you. Okay, so it doesn't mean being perfect. Okay, but it does. We can't. We're not going to be perfect, but we can be faithful. Okay, and that's what God calls us to, is being faithful. Okay, trying to do what's right. And when we're willing to do wrong, we ask God to forgive us and we'll move on. You see, that's it. Not that we're going to be perfect. Okay, but that we keep trying and be faithful to God. And that.
Yeah, talking about that, I mean, you know, there's people outside of the church that, you know, say things like we're hypocrites and, you know, we have to, even inside the church, you know, amongst ourselves, we look up to people like you're saying and, you know, we can still have the same thing going on if we're not honest with each other about our sins and, you know, ask for forgiveness and repentance. And I think that's what he's saying here. I mean, he's writing letters and he admits his own faults, you know, to the people. And yeah, it's pretty cool to see Paul kind of, when he says us, you know, he's not just talking about himself. A lot of times we read this to me, and it's like, oh, well, it's Paul. Like, you know, we put Paul at a higher level than other people, but I think that, you know, today we can have, you know, when I read this, it's like, well, we can have models. Just because Paul is not here today or Jesus isn't here, we can still have models and people around us.
That's his point.
Yeah.
That's his point exactly, is that, yeah, we have people that you can appreciate, but that gives us hope that we could be like them. Okay,
right.
We can be like them. So they're alive, and we know they're not perfect, but they're given being a good example for us. So we can, you know, appreciate that, and that gives us hope that we can do the same. Okay. He says, "For as I have told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." Okay? I'm going to stop there, and then I'll pick up the rest of it. I think he's talking about, these are called the antinomians. Okay? Which I know all of you are familiar with. I can tell by your face. It's people who they were also called libertines. Okay, on the one side you had the Judaizing teachers, the legalists. Okay, well, these are on the other side. Okay, basically they're saying, hey, you can do anything. You know, you're saved, you're in Christ, so it doesn't matter what you do. Okay, and they would divide, and they said, well, you know, your spirit is saved, but so your body, who cares what you do with it? Hey, so you can go and do anything you want, be sexually immoral, be you know, whatever. That doesn't matter, because that's just your body, but your spirit's still good. Okay, you know, obviously there's a problem with that, isn't there? But that's who he's talking about, I think, here, is these people that were just like, in other places it said generally when the churches met, most of them met in house churches, by the way. There was no, the form we have today, everybody gets all bent out of shape of how we do our form or whatever. There wasn't none of that. Okay. There were no located preachers. There wasn't any preacher for this church or for that church or for this one. There weren't any of them. Okay? Paul stayed a couple years in Ephesus teaching out of a school. Okay. Teaching people. But for local congregations, there wasn't a preacher for this one and a preacher for that one. There was just... there was a house church, and whoever was in the house. Okay? All right? And they had, I'm sure, if you read, one of the house churches was in what? Philemon's house. Okay? He had a house church. Okay? He was probably the leader, I don't know. But in Russia, we lost our place to meet. They turned it into a morgue, so it kind of was a downer. So we were looking for a place to meet, and so we broke up into house churches, and they still have house churches. They meet one Sunday a month. They all meet together in a rented place. The rest of the Sundays they meet in house churches. It's as biblical as anything we do. Don't get all hung up in all the, well, it's got to be this way or it's got to be this way. Show me a service in the Bible, what they did exactly. Okay, show me that. I don't think you'll find one. Okay, so don't get thinking it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way or it's got to be... There is no form. It's whatever we think will be most encouraging, most helpful. Okay? There is no form. So don't get hung up in the form. All right? So, but these people, they would, one of the things they would do at the house church was they would have a meal together. It was called the love feast, agape meal. And there's a passage, I think it's in Jude or whatever, these were blots and blemishes at their love feast, okay, because these people were, they get drunk, they get do whatever, okay, at that. So that's who he's talking about here, okay. It's about the only, one of the few, what you would call, but he, negative thing, because he's just pointing out that there are people who don't have the best motives and the best interests. And they're not models for what you want to follow. Okay? But then he, in verse, we're in Philippians 3, by the way, and we're at verse 19. It says, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on what? Earthly things. Okay? But our citizenship is in
heaven.
Now see, he's writing this to these people because what was special about Philippi? It was a Roman colony where the people took pride in the fact that they were Roman citizens. Okay? But he's saying what? Where's our citizenship?
Heaven.
Okay? So instead of running around and saying, I'm a Roman citizen, I'm a Roman citizen. Okay, I'm a citizen of heaven. Okay, that's where our citizenship. Here we're what? Strangers and pilgrims? Okay. It's been a lot easier for me to feel that way. Because I went to four different schools in second grade. I went to a different high school every year. High school. Four and a half years as long as I ever lived anywhere. So I went to Russia. I was there 10 years. Now I've been here 16. That's almost four times as long as I lived anywhere. Okay? So I don't feel like, and I've been in, and even while I've been here, I'm in my fourth house since I've been here. Okay? Okay? So I don't have much attachment to a house or to a place or whatever. Okay? I don't care where I live. I don't put much stock in it other than, is this the place God wants me to serve? Okay, where I can serve Him the best. Right now, I think this is the place I can serve Him the best. And my wife tells me we're not moving, so. And I feel like this is right now. I've got a wonderful ministry out with His Way guys, and I can't imagine a better ministry. Okay, where people are coming to you and saying, would you study the Bible with me? I haven't found that anywhere else. So, and there's an endless supply. Okay. Always new people coming in. So, you have opportunities. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're from, where we want to go. And so don't get... I'm not real big on nationalism. America is the best. Okay, I'm glad I live here. I'm blessed. It's a very nice place to live. Okay, but do you think God says, I like Americans better than Russians or better than Egyptians or better than whoever? You really? Really you think He's that way? I don't think so. Okay. So we're better than everybody else. That's worldly too. Okay. The focus is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. He was waiting what for Jesus to come back, right? Because in the history of things, what in God's plan, what that's the next thing. That's what's coming next, right? And one of that, either Jesus coming or your death is the next thing. Because it'll be the same. When you're dead, it's all set. Okay, that's Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that to judgment. Okay? So once you're dead, you're not going to change anything. So if you're where you need to be, then no problem. Okay? And so you need to live that way. We need to live that way, where we're ready at any time for either Jesus to come back or us to die. And either way, we gain. All right? Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. So he's looking again at what? The resurrection? The resurrection, we get what? New bodies. God's going to put our spirit and our new body back together again. Okay? That's the resurrection. Okay? So you'll have a body that's... This body's not made to last forever, if you hadn't noticed it. Okay? So we get a new body. Okay? It's going to be like Christ. Alright? And so Paul's looking forward to what? To that? Would you, if you were in prison, would you probably be looking forward to that? No. I think our problem here in the United States maybe is we have it so good that we're so blessed that it's like, oh, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go. I want to stay here. Okay? Really? And maybe that's why, you know, when people get older and they get all more aches and pains and sicknesses and whatever and whatever, and I visit people in nursing homes and places and they're like, I'm ready to go, please, you know, take me anytime, okay? Maybe that's what we have to go through, that process for us to, God to get us ready to say, man, I'm ready for that new body. come on anytime, right? But, you know, we need, you know, not to get so attached to this world, okay, and the things in this world that we're thinking about, we're too comfortable. Okay?
You know, Jim, I heard, I can't tell you how many times Clyde Jones said, I'm ready. Come on. Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Sure. Sure. And if you're ready, you're ready. And it doesn't matter who it is or whatever. And that's what Paul, you remember earlier in the first chapter of what? He said what? He was ready, wasn't he? He said,
either way,
for me to for me to live is fruitful labor, but to die is gain. Okay? So he said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't really care. It's good either way. Alright?
But he didn't say he'd stick around a while because we need him.
Well, no, they needed him, but we ain't got him.
Well, I mean, okay. You know.
But yeah, he was, you know, he was useful, and if we're going to stick around, then we need to be useful, right? We need to be serving others. We need to be honoring God with our life. Okay? And so that's why we're here, for fruitful labor. And he's ready, but when we go, then God's got something even better for you. So, death is not a loss. Death is a gain. And all, even though the world is what? Very afraid of today? Why? Well, if you're not a Christian, would you be afraid of dying? Mm-hmm. I would be. That'd be the most scariest thing there is. All right? Because what are they got waiting for? Okay? So, and they don't even realize how bad it is. But that's probably the thing that most people are the most afraid of, is death. And for Christians, hey, it's just a game. I get something better. Probably the only reason it's a little scary for us is because we haven't been there yet. Okay? Haven't experienced that. Okay? But, and the unknown is always a little scary. Okay? But God's got us. Okay? God's always in control. He's got taken care of. And he's got something even better for us than this life. A whole lot better. than this life. So we have something to look forward to. All right, any thoughts or questions? I think I finished the chapter just like I said. And next week, we have 2 more weeks and to do chapter 4. And chapter 4 has got some really good stuff in it. And also hope you'll be back again for that. And again, I think the 24th and the 31st will be, I think all the adults will be in our auditorium. There won't be any groups or something. I think they'll be doing something special in there. Okay, I think the elders are in charge of that, or something like that. So, okay. All right, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.